Psalm 140, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man, who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me, and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Selah. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked, further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. Selah." Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We sure do thank you for the good singing. We are thankful for the Rock of Ages. We're thankful for the foundation that we've been set upon. You pulled us out of that horrible pit and set us upon the rock and established our goings. And God, our foundation is not shifting sand tonight, but it's the solid rock, the Lord Jesus, the Rock of Ages. And God, we're thankful he being the chief cornerstone is the one that our faith is built upon. And God, we certainly do bless your holy name. Now, Father, we thank you for these in attendance tonight. Lord, we pray you'd bless them abundantly. I do pray for Miss Janet that had to go home. God, you'd touch her and help her. I do pray for Miss Lynn the same. Others that are sick, Lord, you'd touch them and help them. I do pray for the next few minutes, Lord, you'd put a hedge about us. And God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. God, I pray you'd illuminate our minds to truth. And God, we certainly do pray you'd bind the powers of hell. God, I pray you'd certainly do a work amongst your people tonight. God, we do pray in a crowd this size, if there be any amongst us who are unsaved, they've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God, we pray that, Lord, before it's eternally too late, Lord, they'd come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Now, Father, I pray you'd meet every need of every heart. I pray that the Lord Jesus would be truly exalted and magnified in our midst tonight. And I pray you'd use this unworthy vessel. And God, we pray that your perfect will would be found in the center of every heart and life here tonight. Now, Father, bless again. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. This is a psalm of David, and he's in the midst of desperation as he is writing this psalm. Throughout this psalm, you can just hear in the words that he's concerned, that he's being hunted, that he's a prey, and that things are not going well in the life of David. And notice a few things. Notice, if you will, the cry of deliverance. He says in verse number 1, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man." He's crying for deliverance. Many believe that this psalm was written just after Saul had turned against David and actually had thrown the javelin, trying to thrust him through and kill him there in the palace. And David crying for deliverance from the Lord. When he is referring to the evil man, he's referring to Saul, who has turned against David, who is pursuing David, who wants to destroy David. As we gather here tonight, we have a pursuer after us, an evil man, a man that wants to destroy us. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy our life, wants to destroy our testimony, wants to destroy our walk with God. He doesn't want anybody else to come to know the Lord by our testimony. We see a cry for deliverance. Notice, if you will, a continual desire from David. Look in verse number 4. Verse 1, he said, "Deliver me." Verse 4, he says, "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings." Here he has a continual desire for the Lord to keep him, to preserve him. Who better to keep us than the Lord? Can I say tonight what a stronghold the Lord is? What a helper the Lord is. He is our safety. He is our security. And if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? And David is desiring for the Lord to keep him. Now, we know now, looking back on the life of David, he's about to spend many years living in caves and dens and hiding out from Saul. And had not the Lord kept him, he would have never made it. We see his continual desire for the Lord to keep him. He says, deliver me. He says, keep me. Notice, if you will, the covering's design in verse number 7. He says, O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Here we find that David not only recognizes that the Lord is not only his God and the strength of his salvation, but he announces that the Lord has covered his head in the day of battle. Now, you and I, if we're a student of the Bible, realize in Ephesians chapter 6, the Lord has given us the helmet of salvation. And can I say that back then when they had hand-to-hand combat, if you had a helmet, that would help protect your head. But what he is really referring to, and we can look back on, is the Lord gives us the helmet of our salvation because if you are honest tonight, the real battle that we face is in our minds. And if we do not have something covering our head, the devil will get in our minds and cause all kinds of things going on. Excuse me. Been good all week till I started preaching. You know as well as I do, the devil put thoughts in your mind. Before long, he'll steal your joy. He'll cause you to doubt. He'll cause your mind to go down paths that it don't need to go down. Sometimes paths of the past, sometimes paths to the right or to the left, but he won't cause you to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. My dear friends, we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. That we might not sin against the Lord, but we need to meditate on the Word day and night, or there might become a crack in our foundation, as Brother Clint just brought out. And I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Tommy, I don't want no snakes nowhere near me, huh? But can I say, you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. And so we see the covering's design. The Lord covers our heads. He gives us the Word of God. He gives us the meditate and upon the things of God. No wonder Paul said, if there be anything virtue, anything lovely, anything of good report, he said, think on these things. No wonder Paul wrote to in Romans chapter number 12 about the transforming and the renewing of our minds. My dear friends, if we don't constantly keep our mind thinking on the things of God, we're opening it up for the devil to cause all kinds of problems. And then we see a concern for devices in verse number 8. He said, grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. Selah. We can see in our society, we can see in our day, the wicked devices of the devil being played out. Amen. And isn't it sad that children can no longer be safe in the front yard? Right. Isn't it sad that you can no longer let kids ride their bikes down the street unwatched? Isn't it sad that we've got all the things going on in this world that have come about because of wicked devices? It is absolutely, I mean, seriously, who would have ever thought that human trafficking would have been a thing? And now it is not only a thing, it is very serious. In so much they don't like to report on it. And can I say it's called wicked devices being played out. And David was praying, Lord, do not let the wicked ones have their way. He had a concern for devices. I'm interested in verse number 3 tonight. Verse number 3 says, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips, Selah. And of course, when we find that word Selah, that means to stop and pause and to think about what is being said and what is being discussed. And David likens all the imagination, all the mischief, all the devices of his enemy as poison. Poison from a serpent. And with that in mind, I want to preach for just a little bit tonight on the poison of the wicked. The poison of the wicked. The Apostle Paul warned the same in Romans chapter 3 and verse 13. He says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. James wrote in James 3:8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Can I say, we live in a day and age where the poison of the wicked seems like it doesn't even have an antidote. We live in a day and age where things have gotten so bad so quickly that only God can help us. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the poison of the wicked. It embodies, first of all, sinful appetites. Sinful appetites. Listen, used to, everybody knew what sin was. Everybody that come to old-fashioned tent meetings or would come to church, they could expect the preacher to be preaching on drinking and carousing around. Who would have ever thought we lived in a day and age where drinking and carousing around were some of the mild sinful appetites? But we have crossed a bar and crossed a line that is actually made people like Otis the town drunk from Mayberry. He even blushes at some of the sin going on today. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, first of all, there's sinful appetites such as sexual immorality. Ezekiel had something to say about the way it was back in Jerusalem when they had been given wholly over to idolatry and demon worship, when they had even offered up their children as sacrifice unto the god Molech. This is what God told Israel through Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 16, verse 25, he says, thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to every one that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. God told Israel they'd gotten so wicked and had such sinful appetites for sexual immorality, they could not be satisfied. And friend, we live in a day and age when sexual immorality is portrayed in our homes on television sets. It's portrayed in our streets, portrayed throughout our entire land, and nobody says anything about it. It's almost like it's a normal place. But can I say, fornication and adultery and sexual immorality and lasciviousness is still wicked in the eyes of God, and God hates sin every single day. But we live in a day and age where it's a modern thing and a known thing. Sex sells. the more deviant, the more wicked, the more they're selling it. And by the way, they'd quit selling it if there wasn't any buyers. It has become such an enormous part of the economy that people just think it's normal. Now, I know we have mixed company in here, and I know we had young people in here, but I remember wasn't that long ago when there was a television show called NYPD Blue, and it was on at 10 o'clock at night, and they warned people not to let your children watch it. It was very taboo, and that was a television show when, for the first time in history, the censors let them advertise condoms during that show. Well, there was a big upheaval amongst Christianity. It wasn't too long after that they started showing it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There wasn't any more upheaval anymore, because everybody got used to watching it. And then more shows came out, more deviant and more wicked and more deviant and more wicked. And just the other day, in the middle of the afternoon, I saw a commercial for the abortion pill. Well, they dress it all up with these young mod girls who live a promiscuous lifestyle, and they say they're in control of their life, and they don't even need to get an abortion because they can take this pill, and they're in control. Young ladies, you know what will help you from getting pregnant? Abstinence till you get married. That's the Bible way. That's the right way. But I know, I'm old-fashioned. Huh? But we live in a day and age where they look at me like I'm crazy. Huh? Can I say that sexual transmitted diseases are an all-time high in America? We live in a day and age where American, where now they have all kinds of medicines for AIDS that you see on TV all the time. What a blessing, huh? You know what would stop the promotion of AIDS? No sexuality with same-sex partners. And stop it. Say, well, what about blood transfusion? Well, if they'd stop that, then we'd stop having AIDS in the blood, and you wouldn't have no problem, huh? By the way, they test that blood. That's just an excuse. I'm just trying to help you tonight. Sexual immorality is a poison of the wicked. And I know what they do. They promote it. It's fun. It's also deadly. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but the wages of sin is death. Well, some of you are about to faint. I even started preaching. My throat's just now starting to clear up a little bit. I'm talking about sinful appetites, not only sexual immorality, but also through substance abuse. We live in a day and age where 4 years ago, one of the biggest agendas in America was to do away with fentanyl. Now we have a government that allows open borders and allows them to bring it in the country more than they can actually even account for, huh? But we live in a day and age where substance abuse is so prevalent, they decided we might as well make money on it, so they started legalizing marijuana because it's really not that bad, huh? Well, tell me about it. I can't even drive down the road with my convertible top down without smelling it everywhere. Makes me sick. I don't know what it's doing to the people inside the car, huh? Listen, if it's not so bad, why are so many people addicted to it? Why was it bad for 50 years, but all of a sudden it's not bad anymore? Because they're making money on it. Follow the money. It follows their sinful appetites. Let's make money on it. Let's have government facilities where we can dispense it from, but only a minor portion's coming from them facilities. They even tell our officers, don't even arrest them anymore. Don't tell our sheriff that. He says, you smell it on them, arrest them for it. The governor, he can like it or lump it. I'm just trying to help you tonight. People are addicted to all kinds of substance abuse. Are you listening? I'm not only talking about pot. I'm not only talking about fentanyl. I'm talking about cocaine. I'm talking about heroin. Still, about 80% of our court cases in Boone County have to do with heroin and substance abuse. Can I say this? There's a lot of people addicted to prescription medication. You're welcome. That didn't cost you anything. Can I say? Most people didn't have the problems they have today when they used to work. When they had to go out and work with their hands and the sweat of their brow. They had to get up early and go to work. Work hard all day. Come home. They was too tired to go out and carouse around. You know what they did? They went to bed. They went to sleep. Got up the next morning. Went to work. But we've raised generations of lazy people who don't work. Much time on their hands, worried about what somebody else has had. And oh, my parents split up and I had a terrible childhood. Give me something that'll help me zone out so I don't have to deal with anything. And they get addicted to that junk. You're welcome. That didn't cost you anything either. Huh? You know what'll help you with a lot of this stuff? Prayer, meditation, get in the Bible, get your mind on God, work hard, live for the Lord, and that'll do a whole lot to help you with a lot of things in your life. I know who I'm preaching to tonight. God's people. We'd have revival if we'd quit zoning out on prescription medicine and zoning out on our phones. You're welcome. Didn't cost you anything because you're addicted to those too. I'll prove it to you. Lay it down for a week. You can't lay it down for an hour. Too worried, Brother Clint, whether or not I got so many likes. Because if I've got so many likes, I don't have to take as much anxiety medicine. Why don't you get more concerned whether or not Jesus is pleased with you? Might help you a little bit. Well, we're shouting her out tonight, aren't we? Not only substance abuse, not only sexual immorality, I'm talking about sinful appetites of self-entitlement. I deserve something. Well, I grew up in a day and age that if you wanted to have something, you had to work for it. We got them today. They think they deserve something. Young people graduate high school and don't want to get a job unless they make $30 an hour. I guess so. Don't want to have to work for it. Everybody at Ryle High School wants a brand new car still in high school. Brother Brian, how long did you have to work before you had a brand new car? Yeah, till he's about 45. And you're going to rush out and buy Aiden and Colton and Lexi all brand new one, aren't you? See, we come up and you buy cars for $300 or $400, drive them for about 6 months and throw it away and get you another one for $300 or $400. Shoot, I remember working all day baling hay for $3.65. That was all day. That wasn't an hour. Say, what'd that make you want to do? Not bale hay all my life. Made me want to get an education. Right. I wasn't doing that the rest of my life. There's nothing like throwing it in the wagon and throwing it in the barn, And it didn't matter. You drink out of a hose, too. You didn't need bottled water back then. You know what I'm saying? Right. But we got this self-entitlement where I'm owed something. I deserve something. Got these sinful appetites of shifting against nature. Can I say abortion is against nature? Amen. Say, how do you know that? Because no species in the animal kingdom aborts their babies before. That's a humanistic thing. because they got caught in their sin and they thought, well, the best way to get rid of the sin is get rid of the problem. That didn't work out for David, and that won't work out for you.
Amen.
It's still murder and you got to live with it. Not only abortion goes against nature, men playing women's sports goes against nature. Oh, you must be real proud of yourself. You're 7'2" and you're playing against 5'6" girls. You must really be proud. You know why they play against girls? Because they can't compete against men. You want to compete against men? Get better. There's just something wrong about that. Can I say? Mutilating your body because you think it makes you look better. Can I say, up till 5 years ago, in every psychiatric manual, they said that if you wanted to change your gender, you had a mental illness? Yeah, they just don't put it in the manual anymore. Listen, I feel for people that feel so unloved that they feel like they have to change themselves or better themselves for people to love them. What I would tell them is that Jesus does love them just as they are, and that He died for them, that He wants to save them, and He will change them. Oh, in a way that they can never change themselves. He will change them from the inside out. And it is a wonderful thing to be accepted in the Beloved. And Jesus does love sinners. And no matter what sin they've committed, He loves them and He'll save them and He'll forgive them. But my dear friends, Jesus doesn't love people in their sin and accepts them in their sinful state. I've seen a commercial, something about Jesus gets us. No, He became like us to make us like Him. Holy. Jesus does not accept us in our sin. Amen. Jesus came to deliver us from our sin.
Right.
When we trust in Him by faith. The poison of the wicked has gotten into sacrilegial ascendancy. Can I say most preaching and teaching today embraces three things? Futile works. You got to work for your salvation. Yet the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can't not work to be saved. Baptism does not save you. Church membership does not save you. Giving to a good cause does not save you. Jesus Christ will save you.
Amen.
Not only futile works, fleshly worship. I really thought when the Hillsong documentary came out on Netflix had put an end to a lot of these window-washing mega churches. No, they've just got more inventive. Over the weekend, one of them had a male stripper, get up and swallow a sword on stage, and it became so prevalent. How wicked have we gotten to where what is supposedly holy is nothing more than wickedness? But fleshly worship is the norm in a lot of circles. And then so many people are caught up in their familiar ways, their traditions. Well, this is where we've always went to church. I know they've changed. I know they no longer adhere to what we used to adhere to when we were younger. But, you know, this is where we've always went. Well, if they start changing the Bible, and they start changing truth, and they start changing the old hymns, and they start changing the way that God ordained for it to be, you need to leave. Praise the Lord. We've got some folks in here that left traditional churches because those traditional churches were no longer traditional. Praise the Lord. What can I say? Sacrilege ascendancy is so prevalent. So how do you combat it all? David cries out for help from the Lord. The only way to turn the tide and combat all these trends is by scriptural admonishing. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, Preach the word, verse number 2. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the working of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. Can I say, we must preach the Bible, we must teach the Bible, we must educate people, because people are not being educated to truth. We are in the we're in the information age. People are learning all the time, but they're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. We must teach them the truth. We must educate them. We must enlighten them to what the Scriptures teach about all these things, about the end times. Perilous times shall come. They'll call that which is good evil and that which is evil good. All those things are upon us. We see it all across our land and all across the world. We need to enlighten them the fact Jesus is coming. They need to get right with the Lord. Time is short. Not only educate them and enlighten them, but we need to edify the saints of God. Let them know. Keep on the firing line. Keep serving God. We need to build them up and encourage them, because God's people are in this world facing all these things. They need some encouragement, some help, and some edification. And then, as Paul said, we need to exhort. We need to preach it. Amen. Let the chips fall where they may. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. David cried out, grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked advice, lest they exalt themselves. You know why there's such a disdain for people like us? Hillary called us deplorables. Obama called us, weak-minded. You know why there's such a disdain? Because they can't control us. Because our heart has been given to another, and his name is Jesus. And they hate that they cannot control us. So what they will do is demonize us. Make us out to be weak-minded. Make us out to be faulty. Make us out to be weird. But we frustrate the daylights out of them. And all the while, by continually preaching the gospel and showing the love of God to folks, others will come to see the wicked devices and poison of the wicked for what it is, and they'll come to treat Jesus Christ. So God help us to keep promoting Jesus. He's the answer for it all.
Right.
He's the one who can help us. He's the one that has all the answers. Yeah, we live in this wicked world, but we're not of this wicked world. Just don't be fooled and lulled to sleep by all their poison. Stand up. Let people know. No, I don't believe that. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the ways of righteousness. Let them know you still believe in America. I love America. I just don't love what she's become. And I'm not going to settle for the kangaroo court America that we got today. You know, we still have laws and we still have rights. But if we let them take them, shame on us. Got to stand up for it. Ought to have a little grit. I love reading about Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. You know why? Because they loved God and they believed in something. They didn't believe in slavery. They believed in Virginia. And they believed that standing for their state was worth it, come what may. And they did. And they loved God. Often, the men heard those two men praying. One night they broke out in prayer meeting, and it's estimated 1,000 men came to Christ. Go read the book, Christ in the Camp, of the men that called out on Christ for Savior, because Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee got a hold of heaven. Can I say, those men stood for something, knowing the cause and knowing the cost. God give us some godly people just stand for something. Say, no, we're not going to buy into this. Now listen, I don't care who you vote for in the fall. I just want you to pray about it and get the will of God. Vote for what's best for America. Huh? But can I say, neither party's going to help America.
Right.
Only the Lord can help America.
Right. Amen.
Somebody better get him on the scene. Because he's the one that preserved David, helped David, delivered David against all odds. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the only hope for our children is somebody get the Lord. David had enough sense and said, Lord, deliver me. Lord, keep me. Lord, preserve me. Lord, you're the one that covers my head in battle. Lord, do not let the wicked and their devices take over. Give us some people who pray like that, and let's see what God will do in our society, in our churches, in our schools, in our America. We don't need more politicians. We need more Davids. God help us to have people that have the same desire he had. Let's all stand. Brother Clint, come get a song of invitation. Maybe you need to just come pray for America tonight. Maybe you need to come pray for our churches tonight. Pray for revival. Pray for these young people tonight. Maybe you need to come, Lord, put something else on your heart. Well, the altar's open. They're picking out a song. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I know not a positive subject tonight, but Lord, the subject needed to be addressed. Something that every generation has faced at one point or another. It's all about righteousness and being accounted for it. So God, help us tonight. So Lord, not bury our heads like ostriches in the sand, but help us, Lord, to seek your face and to stand up and be counted for. Bless tonight. Speak to hearts now in this invitation. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you struggle to find good Bible-based resources to supplement your personal devotions? If so, head on over to ibcflorence.com today and click on Bookstore, where we have a ton of resources. And as always, thanks for listening.